MSO News, giving voice to the North Shore. This is North Shore Today for Tuesday, May 7, 2024. Brought to you by Moynihan Lumber. Moynihan Lumber supporting local news coverage and communities on the North Shore. I'm Rick Moore. The governor and lieutenant governor come to Lynn to talk about housing. Two North Shore towns hold elections today. There's a local connection to yesterday's story of a car crashing into Fenway Park.
I'm Bill Newell, and later in sports, the Bruins did it, Game 1 against the Panthers, and we'll have a story on a local lacrosse loss. Rick?
All right, thanks, Bill. Mostly sunny, near 70, high tide, Gloucester Harbor, 11:15 a.m. and 11:30 p.m. Today is election day in Danvers and Rockport. Danvers voters will find four candidates on the ballot for two seats in the race for the select board. In Rockport, there are three candidates on the ballot for two select board seats. The three candidates are incumbent Herman Lilia and challengers Donald Southard and Laura Evans. Governor Mara Healey and Lieutenant Governor Kim Driscoll held the first event of their housing plan yesterday in Lynn. This is Governor Healey.
Housing is the single biggest challenge facing Massachusetts. It's the issue we must address and address urgently and quickly. That's why we're working together through the MBTA Communities Law, why we're proposing historic levels of funding through the Affordable Homes Act, and why we're just so committed to doing everything that we can across the state to increase housing production. I want to celebrate today the fact that over 40 cities and towns have already passed zoning plans intending to comply with the MBTA Communities Act. Today and every day, we will continue to work together to build the homes and the communities that our residents need.
Over the next few weeks, the administration will hold events across the state to call attention to the urgent need to lower housing costs across Massachusetts and the ways in which the high cost of housing impacts everyday life. This is Lieutenant Governor Kim Driscoll.
Talking about the issues that matter most in people's lives, and we know that whenever we are anywhere in any community, that's from the Berkshires to Boston, from the Cape to Merrimack Valley, to the heart of the Commonwealth in Central Mass, the number one issue on people's mind is housing. And that's housing in general. It means we don't have enough market rate homes for people who want to purchase a home. It means we don't have enough homes for folks who want to rent an apartment or a home. Not enough homes for the folks who are working hard every day. Think about anyone who's pouring coffee or pouring beer for a living. Someone who's helping take care of your child who you might drop them off to in the morning. Individuals helping take care of older adults or relatives. Nobody can keep up with these fast rising rents, and the lack of housing is impacting all of our communities across the Commonwealth.
Below on this post, we have available on video the complete housing event held in Lynn yesterday. The Gloucester fiscal year 2025 budget is coming into focus. Ethan Foreman reports in today's Gloucester Times that Mayor Greg Verga will outline his budget tonight before the Gloucester City Council. The budget reportedly is a 5% increase over last year's budget. Tonight's meeting begins at 6:30 p.m. A Salem woman was the driver of the car that drove into Gate C yesterday morning at Fenway Park. The Salem News reports that state police got reports of a car driving erratically in Revere, and that report was followed by another of a crash in the Ted Williams Tunnel. Later, the same car, allegedly driven by 48-year-old Colleen Gibbs of Salem, the car, a 2024 Honda Accord, drove into the gate at Fenway. The first incident was reported at about 7:30 yesterday morning. It all ended at around 8:30 a.m. in Boston. There was a groundbreaking ceremony in Lynn yesterday morning for renovation work to begin on the GAR Hall. This is museum curator Wendy Joseph.
This first phase of the project for this construction at the GAR Museum on Andrew Street in Lynn is an installation of an elevator that's going to be going through all four floors of this building that was built in 1885. So that in of itself is a huge undertaking. Because, you know, you never know what's going to happen when you cut into a building that's from 1885. So the construction is expected to take at least a year to do it right. And we have a satellite GAR at City Hall. My office is room 104, and the people should feel free to swing by and see the GAR office at City Hall.
The museum was founded by veterans of the Civil War. We have a post up on our website with audio from the ceremony, as well as a photo gallery from that event, and we'll run some audio from the event later in North Shore Today Extra. Bill Newell on sports next.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Yes, we are a full-service lumber yard, but we also offer doors and windows and kitchen cabinets. Please visit us in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Taparo Capital Management. It's time to craft your retirement plan. Click on the Taparo banner at the top right of our website and begin creating your winning game plan.
If you're a soap bar user and you're always annoyed by the fact that when you use your entire bar, you're stuck with this little sliver of soap that you don't know what to do with, hold on, because I think I have the solution for you. It's always a pain to have that little sliver of soap that we didn't really know how to use but didn't want to waste and throw away. So we invented this cute cube-shaped soap bar that then you can place your old little soap sliver right into. There's a carved out X in the center of the bar that then you can place your old soap sliver into. You just break up that little sliver into pieces that are two or three and it fits right inside. And bam, now you've got a brand new soap bar and you didn't have to waste anything. If that's something you're interested in and you want to support a sustainable small business, then head on over to our shop at exobath.com. You can buy one for yourself or give it as a gift. It ships anywhere in the United States and you can get 20% off your first order.
Click on to the Exobath banner at the top of our website.
This is MSO Sports bringing voice to the North Shore. The Bruins won game one of a round two playoff series against the Florida Panthers last night. 5-1 the final score. Game two is tomorrow night at 7:30. The Celtics will open a round two NBA playoff series at home tonight against Cleveland. Tip-off tonight at 7. The Red Sox were off last night. They'll play in Atlanta tonight against the Braves. In North Shore sports, the St. John's Prep lacrosse team recently lost to an excellent Staples, Connecticut team, 8-3. Salem News executive sports editor Phil Stacey on this week's Sports Writers Podcast says that he believes the loss may not have been the worst thing for this prep team.
Well, the point is that an in-season loss, even for the best of teams, and I think it's safe to say as three-time defending state champions, you know, St. John's is among the best teams in the state, again. But a loss isn't necessarily the worst thing in the world. I know, for instance, you know, if you're comparing apples to apples here, St. John's Prep Hockey, which won the state title, had back-to-back in-season losses after winning 12 games in a row. And in hindsight, that was the best thing that ever could have happened to them because they refocused, they made the changes they needed to make, they tweaked the lines, and they go on and run the rest of the way, and they win the state title. So, you know, does this prep team have that drive? Lacrosse I'm talking about, you know, can they respond and bounce back from a loss such as this? Can their leadership step up and pull their teammates along with them? Can other guys step up and assume the responsibility that's placed ahead of them? Those are all questions that have to be asked and then answered if they want to be winning another title. It's by no means a given. This loss shows that they're fallible. But I do think, you know, knowing the recent history of the program, knowing the coaching staff very well, and knowing the players on the team, they should be able to bounce back from this. Now, they're playing plenty of other good teams this year. They got Lincoln Sudbury coming up Tuesday. They have Hingham at the end of the year. They're going to be tested at some point in the state tournament, not in the early rounds, but they will at some point. So, you know, will this loss down in Staples ultimately propel them to another championship or show that there are chinks in the armor that need to be fixed? And if they're not, they're in trouble. Time will tell.
Bill Stacey of the Salem News. This is North Shore Today, giving voice to the North Shore, the area's only daily news and sports podcast. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell, hoping you have a great Tuesday. North Shore Today Extra is next.
Taparo Capital Management. It's time to craft your retirement plan. Click on the Taparo banner at the top right of our website and begin creating your winning game plan.
This is North Shore Today Extra. I'm Bill Newell. Today we're going to run some extended audio clips from the ceremony held yesterday in Lynn for the groundbreaking for the renovation at the Grand Army of the Republic Hall and Museum. Here is the first clip we're going to run is with curator Wendy Joseph.
So Wendy, tell us about the project. What does it entail here at the GAR?
This first phase of the project for this construction at the GAR Museum on Andrew Street in Lynn is an installation of an elevator that's going to be going through all four floors of this building that was built in 1885. So that in of itself is a huge undertaking, because you know you never know what's going to happen when you cut into a building that's from 1885. So the construction is expected to take at least a year to do it right. And we have a satellite GAR at City Hall. My office is room 104, and the people should feel free to swing by and see the GAR office at City Hall.
From the ceremony today, what do you take out of that? What happened? What do you think about what happened here today?
Well, this is it's so wonderful to see the confluence of so many different types of supporters coming out for this project, people who are interested in the Lynn Cultural District, interested in history, interested in veterans issues, all is what this building represents. And it's the culmination of significant buy-in from this particular Nicholson administration and these city councilors. It's wonderful to see everyone coming together for this resource.
I guess one last question would be, this is phase one or step one. What do people envision for the future down the road for additional projects here?
We will be doing things such as re-envisioning the first floor tenant space. We're looking at creating a co-working model for various nonprofits. The grand hall upstairs will look exactly like it always did, but we'll have hidden 21st century information and practical things for great events up there. And also, the trustees have given me the duty to expand the story of the museum. So not just Civil War, we'll be talking about all of Lynn's veterans from the militias of 1639 all the way up through Iraq.
That is Wendy Joseph, curator, Grand Army of the Republic Hall and Museum in Lynn. A couple of politicians were on hand as well, but had some very thoughtful comments. This is John Walsh, Lynn City Council President.
It's a pleasure to be here on behalf of my colleagues that are here today to see this happen. But there's one thing missing on this board over here. If you notice, there's a gap between 1978 and 2018. And at that point, I believe Bob Mathias was the person who held the building together, right? I want to thank him. As a kid, my dad said, "Hey, I want to show you something downtown." And I says, "What's down there?" At that time, there wasn't a lot going on. And, brought me down here. And Mr. Mathias said, "I think you went to school with my kid, right?" And I said, we go that far back. And he brought me in this building. And it's always been here. No, nobody knows it's here. I mean, and it's a treasure for everyone to see. And he's been the gatekeeper for a long time. And I remember talking to him when I got on the council, and we talked about trying to find some funding, and we worked at that. We worked at that hard. Everybody here did. At one point, I remember even former council president Darren Sear heard I was going to Washington for my job, and I was going to meet with the congressman. And he gave me some paperwork, and he said, "See if you can get some money, you know, to try to fix this building." And it wasn't very successful, but we stayed at it. Everybody here, all of us put the time in. Everybody knows what the treasure is behind us. If you look at the city streets and the squares that are around here, and if you see a name and you're not really sure what the name is, I'll bet you it's an 80% chance it's named after someone that gave their life in World War I or World War II. And there are brass plaques hung in this basement down here as a reminder for all of us. And when my daughter was growing up, and I took her to Washington one day, and we were walking around looking at all the monuments, and she asked me why there were so many monuments to wars and things that were there. And I told her, I said, it reminds the people in the other building at the other end of this mall what the cost is of their decisions. And I think having it locally here for us to understand what we did to fight for what we have now locally is so important to continue that. So I just want to thank everybody, and I want to thank Mr. Mathias too, especially for bringing me in very early to recognize that. So thank you.
John Walsh, Lynn City Council President. Nicole McLean, another city councilor at large, Nicole McLean, speaking at yesterday's event.
Hello, everyone. It is an honor to be here today, and I want to thank Patty Pendexter for reaching out to me and inviting me to come speak. I am very honored to be here. The museum is one of our city's treasures. Being one of the last existent Grand Army of the Republic buildings in the United States, it's still used for its original purpose to honor the men who fought to save the Union during the Civil War. The building is listed on the National Register of Historic Places for its significance in military, architectural, and social history. As a veteran that is also a Black woman, this museum has always held a great interest and significance to me. I marveled at the history in the rooms of this museum before the extremely capable director, Wendy Joseph, took it over. She organized and expanded on the stories. Stories of men that I am sure had varied reasons for joining the military, but fought with honor in the Civil War. A war that began in 1861 over slavery and ended in Union victory with the help of Black men that defended the country that enslaved them. A war that threatened to keep people that looked like me in bondage. A war that insisted women could not serve alongside men. Freedom and protect their freedom and families. The Civil War ended in 1865. The conflict was the costliest and deadliest war ever fought on American soil. With some 620,000 of 2.4 million soldiers killed, millions more injured, and the South left in ruins. The importance of this history being preserved and expanded upon should be obvious to us all. The pride and immense responsibility that comes with having a museum like this in our city cannot be overstated, and I am thankful to the history buffs, community members, and leaders who love this museum and the city of Lynn enough to donate their time to its mission of honoring military service and preserving war history. I am thankful to Wendy Joseph for expanding that Civil War history by adding the stories of Black soldiers to the walls of this building. Adding an elevator to this historical site will ensure residents of all abilities can enjoy this history. The goal of creating a collaborative space for veterans and community organizations to share expands the mission of this organization and will provide a desperately needed venue for continued community building. There are plenty of nonprofit organizations in our city that could benefit from this space, and I know the DAV, Lynn Veterans Council, and our Veterans Service Department, led by Mike Sweeney, would love to host events and meetings in the future space once it becomes available. There is a growing audience who will feel the pride, awe, and amazement that I feel learning about Lynn residents and their contribution to a cause bigger than themselves. Congratulations on this day that has been long awaited. Thank you.
That is Lynn City Councilor at Large, Nicole McLean. And we'll wrap up our comments with some of the brief comments made yesterday. This is State Rep and retiring State Rep Peter Capano, who represented the state delegation at the ceremony yesterday.
I think everything has been said. It's just great for me to be here on this particular day. I remember going way back and having conversations with Bob over the years of how he can get this landmark on the map. And, you know, through fits and starts, you know, just weren't able to do it. But through the conversations and the advocacy over the years and a really tenacious board, the people like Wendy and Patty Pendexter, the city council and the mayor and everyone behind this, I'm just so happy to be here today because we have another destination and Lynn. I was in Gettysburg last year, and I just couldn't believe the history and how much interest there was. This will put Lynn's place and the map in that history. That, the only thing I could say that's a little bit different is I just kind of feel like if you're around long enough, you get to see so many good things happen. And I'm just so grateful to be here today and see this. And I'm just really excited for what's going to happen when we hit, when we do a grand opening here, hopefully next year, sometime not too long from now, considering how long we've waited for this, right? On behalf of the state delegation, I want to thank everybody that's been involved in this. It means a lot to me. It means a lot to the city, and thank you all for keeping this on the map and allowing this to happen today. Thank you.
State Rep. Peter Capano, again, all of them speaking at the groundbreaking for the renovations at the Grand Army of the Republic Hall and Museum in Lynn. This is North Shore Today Extra, giving voice to the North Shore.